because they're not ready. The Israelites weren't prepared yet. The Israelites for 400 years had been what? What had they been?
Slaves.
They hadn't been warriors. They hadn't been fighting men. No, they had been slaves for 430 plus years. They weren't prepared yet to battle. And God said, look, I'm not going to take them through the shortest way, if you will, which would have been through the land of the Philistines and straight down to the land of Canaan. But I'm going to take them through the wilderness because there needs to be a time of preparation. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. So first of all, God's way is not always the shortest. Secondly, God's way is not always the easiest. It's not always the easiest. Now, he's not taking them around the Philistines necessarily to make it easier. He's taking them around the Philistines because they need preparation first. But God's way isn't always the shortest. But secondly, it's not always the easiest. Hold your place here if you would, and go with me if you would to the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 77. Psalm 77. God's way is not always the shortest. It's not always the easiest. Psalm 77 and verse number 16. Psalm 77, verse 16, the Bible says, "The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." See, the quickest way would have been to go not close to the Red Sea, but straight down from Egypt down to Canaan through the land of the Philistines, not by the Red Sea. There was no way across the Red Sea. But God's going to teach them something. You see, many times God's way is not always the easiest, but it is best because He's teaching us something. He's going to strengthen us. What is He going to do when the nation of Israel goes through the Red Sea? He's going to strengthen their faith. He's going to show them, look, if you'll trust me now, you can trust me all along this journey. So number one tonight, God's path or God's way is not always the shortest, although it is near. It's not always the shortest. It's not always the easiest. But thirdly tonight, God's way is always best. It's not always the shortest. It's not always the easiest. But tonight, God's way is always best. Always. Doesn't matter what we're talking about tonight. Doesn't matter what path or what way. Doesn't matter what area of life, what subject matter we're talking about tonight. We could be talking about finances. We could be talking about children. We could be talking about soul winning. We could be talking about how the church operates and the giving to the church. Look, that doesn't make sense to this world. Look, God's way isn't always the shortest. It's not always the easiest, but it's always the best. The Bible says, let me read it for you. You can turn there if you'd like, but we're going to go back to Exodus in just a moment. But the Bible says in Proverbs 16 in verse number 9, the Bible says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Many times we have an opinion. Many times we have a device in our own lives. We've devised how we're going to go, and this is going to be what I do, and this is going to be my way, and this is going to be the path that I take for my life. But the Bible says it's God who directs our steps. And listen, that's why tonight we need to pray for our teenagers. We need to pray for our little ones. Because in their minds, they have a way that they want to go. Well, I want to do this with my life, and I want to have this, and I want to have a comfortable life. I'll never forget, and I'm so thankful, and I think I've told this before, but I never forget, and I'm thankful He was so gracious with me. My pastor, when I was a teenager, when I was getting ready to graduate high school, and I was going to go, and I did. I went there for a year, but I was going to go to Middle Tennessee State University and study accounting. And that's what I did for a year. And I remember talking to my pastor. My pastor asking me, and he said, "Are you sure this is what God wants you to do?" He said, he asked me this. He said, "Why are you going to study accounting?" And this is what I told him. I'll never forget it. Because I look back now and I'm thinking, if I were the pastor and some 18-year-old told me this, I would have laid into him. But he didn't. He was gracious. He said, why are you going to study accounting? I said, because I want to have a comfortable life. I grown up on a dairy farm. Looking back now, I'm grateful, I'm thankful for it. But I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. I didn't want my children to have to be up at 3 o'clock every morning the way I did. I didn't want to do that. Now I wish they could now, because they need it. But that's what I told them. I'll never forget. I said, I want to have a comfortable life. And he didn't say a word. But looking back now, I know what he was thinking. He's thinking, son, you don't even know. That's not what you ought to be thinking about. He said, I know he was thinking, you ought to do accounting because that's what you think God's will is for you. Not because you want a comfortable life. And you see, these teenagers, they may look at certain things and they may think, you know, I want a comfortable life. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. But that's not why we do something. We do it because it's God's will. Not because this occupation is going to give me a little bit more money and I'm going to have more comfort if I do this or this occupation is going to allow me to do this. No, we do it because it's God's will. Look, God's way isn't always the shortest. It's not always the easiest, but it is always the best. Why? Because God is directing the way. Because God is directing our steps. So number one, it's not always the shortest, not always the easiest, but it is always the best. And I want to give you five reasons why it's the best, okay? Let me give you five reasons why it's the best and we'll be done tonight. First of all, because His way has a purpose. Because His way has a purpose. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy with me if you would. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Because His way, and by the way, we read that in Exodus chapter number 13, we read one of the purposes. One of the purposes was that they were not ready for war yet. They were just coming out of Egypt, and if they had gone through the land of the Philistines would have overrun them. The Israelites would have been scared and terrified. They would have gone back. The Bible says they would have repented and gone back to Egypt. And that the idea of repentance isn't that, oh, I need to repent and get things right with God. No, I'm repenting because we left Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. God said, I don't want them to do that. So first of all, it's best because His way has a purpose. What were some of the purposes of going through the wilderness instead of going through the land of the Philistines? Well, first of all, what we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it was to prove and to humble Israel. It was to prove and to humble Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Now, this isn't talking about that specific moment. This is talking about later when God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But one of the reasons is to humble and to prove, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. You see, God wants us to go His way to prove us. You going to keep my commandments? Are you going to be humbled? He wants to know what's in our heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. So one of the purposes was to prove and to humble Israel. One of the purposes was to destroy Pharaoh. Why did they end up at the Red Sea? Because he knew Pharaoh was going to follow him and he's going to destroy Pharaoh and his army. You see, God had a plan. God had a purpose. And we say it all the time, but we don't see the end from the beginning. But God, we don't see everything that's going to happen in the middle. But God has a heaven view, a view from heaven. He sees everything that's going to happen from the beginning to the end. He knows. He has a panoramic view. He knows every little detail that's going to happen. We don't. But He does. And He knows every purpose that He has. And for God to take them not the near way, as the Bible says there, but to take them around through the wilderness and down to the Red Sea, one of the purposes was to destroy Pharaoh. Because when they got to the Red Sea, and just like Brother Gene said, he knew that Pharaoh would follow because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Yeah, Moses, you can go. You can take all of your cattle. You can take all of your children. You can go worship. But God knew Pharaoh wasn't going to be satisfied. And a little time after they had left, Pharaoh's sitting in the palace and he's thinking, oh, no, no, no. Those are my slaves. We're going to go back and get them. And God destroyed Pharaoh there in the Red Sea. So God's way is always best because His path has a purpose. One of His purposes was to humble and prove Israel. One of His purposes was to destroy Pharaoh and his men. Another purpose was to fulfill the request of sacrificing in the wilderness. What did they ask Pharaoh? Why did God tell Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh to let his people go so that they could go worship and sacrifice in the wilderness? If they had gone straight down through the land of the Philistines, they would not have fulfilled the very request of which they had asked Pharaoh. You need to let us go so that we can go worship in the wilderness. 3 days' journey, the Bible says, into the wilderness. You see, God's way has a purpose, and it's always the best. Secondly, His way is always best because it has a purpose. Secondly, because His way is preparatory. It prepares us. Go back to Exodus chapter number 13. Because His way has a purpose, because His way has a preparation, it prepares us. We've already said this, but the Bible says they weren't prepared for what yet? They weren't prepared for war. And you see, God doesn't let us jump into things sometimes because He knows that we're not prepared. He knows we're not ready. We think we are. And we think, I'm going to jump in and do this, or I'm going to do it this way, or this is going to be the path I take. And God says, hold on just a second. You're not ready yet. You're not ready to jump into that yet. By the way, I think about 1 Timothy 3 when God speaks about the qualifications or the characteristics of a pastor. He says that the pastor ought not be a novice. A church ought not call a young man who's young, a novice because he's not prepared yet. He's not ready yet. The Apostle Paul said he doesn't need to be a novice. Novice, I believe, most of all, is talking about in the Word of God. Not that he can't be young per se, but he needs to have some wisdom in the Word of God. Look, God's way is best because it prepares us, because He has a purpose, and because He has a preparation for us. His way, because of the purpose. Number two, because of the preparation. Number three, because His way is very simply, His way is plain. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm 27? Psalm 27, His way is plain. Psalm 27, God's way is not always the shortest, it's not always the easiest, but it's always the best. Why? Because His way has a purpose, because His way has a preparation, because His way is plain. The Bible says in Psalm 27 and verse number 11, He says, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Because His way is plain. Now, many times we make it hard. Many times we make it difficult. Many times we make God's way very, very hard. And God says, look, the psalmist here, David, said, look, teach me Thy way. You know what he's asking Him? He's asking God to teach him His Word. God, teach me Your way, because Your way is a plain path. And if You'll show me the way, I know it'll be plain. I know that it'll be clear. Look, I tell folks all the time, preachers get in trouble when they stop preaching the Word. It's easy just to preach the Word. You stop preaching the Word and start preaching something else, then you have gotten off of a plain path. Now, preaching the Word sometimes might be plain, and somebody may want something new, but it's plain and it's certain and it's truthful. And the psalmist David said, look, teach me Thy way and lead me in a plain path, a clear path. And that's what God's way is. You know how many people stumble in their lives, even in their Christian lives? It's like they're just floundering and groping in the darkness because they're not following God's way. God's way is a plain way. And it's found in His Word. Because it's plain, number four. Because His way comes with His presence. Because His way comes with His presence. It is accompanied by His presence. Look in Exodus chapter 13. Would you go back there if you're not already there? God's way is always best. Why? Because His path, His way has a purpose. Because His way prepares us. Because His way is plain. Because His way is accompanied by His presence. And I'm going to tell you what tonight, out of all these, I mean, we want all of them tonight, but that's what we ought to desire tonight is His presence. His presence. You remember in the book of Joshua, when the nation of Israel was getting ready to go across the Jordan River, and the priests were supposed to take the Ark of the Covenant and lead the way, and the people were supposed to keep a little distance, but they were supposed to simply follow the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody remember the phrase that is used in that passage of why they were supposed to follow the Ark of the Covenant? He said, because we've never been this way before. You know what? Let's just see if we can find it. Joshua 3. Would you go there real quickly? Joshua chapter 3. And then we'll come back to Exodus 13. Joshua 3, verse 1, the Bible says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it. By the way, what was the Ark of the Covenant a picture of? Or a symbol of, a token of what? Of God's presence. It was a token of God's presence. And he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Hey, don't run ahead of it. Don't get ahead of the Ark of God. Leave a space, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And there are ways that God leads us and places that God leads us we've never been before. And we're going to make a tragic mistake and we're going to make a mess of our life if we try to run ahead of Him or try to do it our own way and not stand and watch and let Him lead and guide and follow His presence and have His presence going with us. You know, I teased recently, I gave a prayer request in our Sunday school class a couple weeks ago, and I teased my daughter a little bit, but I asked prayer that the Lord would show Paige His perfect will for the days ahead. And I told her, I said, because if you go to the wrong college, you're going to meet the wrong guy. You know, I teased with her about that, but you know what? That's right. That's right. When we follow God's will and when we follow His way, He prepares us all along the way. He has all of His purposes for us all along the way. But if we don't go His way, we miss some of His will. Oh, does that mean that, man, we're wretched people? I'm not saying that tonight. But we miss some of His will. I want her to go where, look, not where Daddy wants her to go. Not where any other family member, and by the way, not where she necessarily wants to go herself. I want her to go where God wants her to go. Because the safest place to be, the most prepared place to be, is in the perfect will of God, because there you're in the very presence of God Almighty. Go back to Exodus 13. God's way is not always shortest, it's not always easy, but it's always the best. Because He has a purpose. His way has a purpose. His way prepares us. His way is plain. His way is accompanied by His presence. Look at verses 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day. They didn't know where they were going. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And that was God's presence that was leading them in the right way. The Bible says in verse number 21, to lead them the way. The way. Not in just any old way. No, no. The way that they were supposed to go. God led them. And God's way is always best because it's accompanied with God's presence. And He leads us. And He guides us. Now, I know He doesn't do it with a cloud. Wouldn't that be cool? Got up every morning and there's the cloud. Went to bed every night, there's the fire. That would be kind of neat and kind of cool. But you know what? We have the cloud and the fire. You see, the nation of Israel didn't have the completed Word of God we do. You say, Pastor, I think a cloud would be easier. Maybe sometimes. But the reason we think it's easier, I think, and I believe, it's because we don't get in this enough. And we don't know the way. Because in this is where the plain path is shown. I know it doesn't show us who we're supposed to marry. I know it doesn't show us all that. But if we'll obey what we do know to obey, He'll show us. A lot of young people, they want to know God's will, but they don't want to obey the simple things that they know they should obey. That's why I tell young people, look, you'll never know God's will if you're not obeying mom and dad right now. That's easy. That's one of the easiest things about the will of God for a teenager is to simply obey mom and dad, obey what the Word of God says. But if you're not going to do that, good luck with God's will. Those are the easy things. Good luck with the hard things. God's way comes, is accompanied with His presence. And then lastly, we've already said this numerous times, and we mentioned this numerous times, Psalm chapter number 18. Would you go there? And we're done tonight. His way is always best, first of all, because He has a purpose. Secondly, because He prepares us. Thirdly, because that way is plain. Fourthly, because His way comes with His presence. And then fifthly tonight, because His way... Somebody want to tell me? Begins with a P. His way is perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. So what does that tell me right there? It tells me that I can find His way in His word. He says His way, as for God, His way is perfect. Okay, that's good. I know that. But how do I find His way? And then He proceeds to say the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Where do I find His way? In His Word. In His Word. His Word. Why is it perfect? How do we know it's perfect? Because it's been tried. The idea there, it's been proven. It's been tried in a furnace of fire and it's been proven over and over and over and over again. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield to all those that trust it. What am I trusting in? His way. How do I find His way? In His Word. To all those that trust in His way, in Him. Not this way, God. You ever thought that? You ever thought, God, I don't think this is the way I need to be going. God, I don't know if this is right. If it's God's way, it's right. By the way, if it's in the Word, it's right. And His way is best. You think some of the Israelites may have had an idea of what the best way to get to Canaan land was? I think they probably did. God, where are you taking it? This isn't the quick way. God, we can be there in 5 days. And I said, nope. Because if you go this way, you'll probably end up back in Egypt. Philistines will come out against you. You'll be ready to go back. See, sometimes we think, God, that's not the quickest way. That's not the best way. But oh yeah, if it's God's way, it's the best way. It's not always the shortest, it's not always the easiest, but it's always the best. Because He has a purpose. Because He's preparing us. Because His path is plain, it's certain, it's clear. His path is accompanied with His presence. And oh dear friend, that's what we need. We need His presence. The cloud by day, the fire by night, we need His presence. It is accompanied by His presence. And finally, very simply, because His way is perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. We ought to want to go His way. We ought to want our children to go His way. Why? Because it's perfect. Sometimes, you know, we have ideas for our children, don't we? Well, I want my child to do this. I want them to be this. Well, that may not be what God wants them to be. I want my child to be a doctor. I want them to be successful. I don't want them to struggle the way I've had to struggle in my life and work. I want them to have a comfortable life. Listen, God never promised us comfort. Really, He promised the opposite. He promised us tribulation in this life, didn't He? Well, I don't want my child to be a missionary. They'll never make any money. If God, listen, you know what? You know, one of the most encouraging things. Last year at the end of the missions conference, one of our young men, I don't even think anybody knows this. One of our young men told Brother Stark with tears, I mean, as a young person, I mean, tears flowing out of his eyes, he said, I think God's calling me to be a missionary. Is it God calling him to be a missionary? I don't know. Was it just an emotional moment? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. If God wants that young man to be a missionary, God help him not to ever do anything else. Because if he does, he'll be a failure. Oh, he may make a lot of money. May be successful. But in God's eyes, he hasn't fulfilled his will. He'll be a failure. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Look, if that's what God wants our children to do, yeah, but I want my kids to live right next door to me. I don't. Just kidding. No, I'd love for that. I'd love for my kids to stay close to me. But God may take them somewhere else. That'd be okay. Or at least it should be, because His way is perfect. Isn't that true tonight? We want to pray for that, for each other. For our young people, for these teenage men, pray for them. We need, and I'm looking, oh man, it's after 8, I need to be done. Look, we need more young people who are surrendering to God's will. We need more young people going into the ministry. I don't believe God calls every young person in the ministry. I know He doesn't. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe He's calling a lot more right now than are actually surrendering. We ought to pray for that. Amen. His way. His way is perfect. Boy, there's a lot more that could be said, but let's pray. We'll be done tonight. Hey, if you have a teenager in your home, Friday night, 6:30 to 8, we'll be decorating the gym for the international luncheon. If they can make it, we'd sure love to have them come and help us, and we'll feed them Friday night, but it'll be 6:30 to 8. I don't think we'll be any longer than 8, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for the night You've given us. Father, we love You. We're so grateful for Your way. We thank You for the example that we find in the nation of Israel. Father, you led them about. You led them in a different direction than most people at that time would have taken. But Father, you had a purpose. And Father, may you follow our will. You know, there are a lot of things we do in the Christian life, Father, and you know it better than we do. It doesn't make any sense to this world. It doesn't make any sense to give so much of our time to the church. It doesn't make any sense to give so much of our money to the church. It doesn't make any sense to raise our children in a certain way. It makes no sense to this world. It makes no sense that we pray for our children to go to a mission field, to surrender their lives and never have tons of money and comfort and a life of leisure. That doesn't make sense to this world, but it makes all sense to you. And Father, if that's the way you'd have us to go or have our children to go, God, may we follow it. May we obey it. Help us, Lord. Give us a good night. Father, give us safety as we go to our homes. Bring us back on Sunday. Father, I'm excited about the week. And Lord, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I pray that we've set aside Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to allow you to enlarge our hearts. We're going to allow you to stir us. And I pray that you do so. I know you'll do so. I know you want to. But Father, may we be here so that you can. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. You are dismissed.